Blog Talk Radio.
Show here live in Oracle Divination Network. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the show today. And we are coming on live today. We're live here in the Blog Talk Room. And we're also live here in the studio with our YouTube channel. So, as we get this show off the road, I want to say good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you're up for our topic today. We are talking about the I Am God is continuing to create like a creator should, and who is this I Am God, and have you met the I Am God? Some of you already probably know about the I Am God, but then there are those of you who probably have never even ventured to find out who the I Am God is. And because I am coming back on the scene with my music, poetry as well, inviting the priestesses in, the poets in, the Iwas in, this is all about getting yourself prepared to function from the realm of the I Am God. So many times I have forgotten that I was a God, and I've forgotten to even function on the premises that I was a God. And I have allowed myself to be dependent on the world to make the decisions, when in fact I know that once we have declared ourselves as a co-creator, we can co-create with the Most High, our higher selves. So therefore, the Ori that has been placed in our being, the Ori that functions as a God, we can go to Ori and ask Ori to allow us to function as gods and co-create with the Creator. Now, what do I mean by that? Ladies and gentlemen, you've always known that you could co-create with the Creator. You've always known that you were part of the co-creator and that he took up residency within your being. If he takes up residency, or he, she, or it takes up residency within you, then what does that make you? A co-creator with God. So you're not just standing there begging some spook God to do something for you when you can do it for yourself. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to break that down, because it's part of our mind, soul, body, and spirit. And as most of you know, I've indicated to you that I've just completed the website that is now open. We are still working on our store. So the store aspect of the website is shut down until further notice, because we have to upload all of the individual products. But nevertheless, the rest of the website is functional. And as you know, you're always tweeting your websites, and you don't ever get finished, because there's always something more that you can add. But I wanted to let you know, because I was an artist and in the musician world, then it would only be proper for me to come back and come back strong and hard this time. Some of you know that I did do some demos and distribute those in my line of work, doing the writing of music and poetry. So I do a bit of the spoken word and also a solo artist. But the main thing is that I was transitioning from gospel. But something told me that you can combine these genres together. So I have combined a couple of genres together, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit about why. Because most African Americans have to realize that if they're doing music that is from gospel, most Africans got their start from gospel. So we've combined something called Creole. How many of you know about the Creole people? The Creole, they call them French Creoles, and they also call them mulattoes. Well, my family and I grew up in that mulatto setting because my mother and her family described it as French Indians, when in fact it is still considered as mulatto, quadro, as well as Creole, French Creole. So there was a certain kind of music they did, and they used the harmonica to mimic their sound. So I grew up in a setting of a family where my uncle entertained us with his harmonica and stories and taught us about the French Creole and said that he was able to be a part of that group. He and his sisters were all considered as mulatto and considered as the French Creole. And what that means is basically the Spanish and the French had integrated our black communities, and they had cohabitated and created children that were called the mulatto. But you very rarely hear any of the Creole music being permeated through the atmosphere. Creole music is very, very elegant with the piano and with the harmonica. There's so much to be had from that particular music. And I wanted to bring it back. I wanted to bring it back, but from a perspective of gospel reggae. Now, I spent 5 years over in Germany, and I had a chance to connect with my African brothers, and most of them being from the reggae set. So we did a number of songs together that were reggae style and gospel together. So we want to bring that genre, gospel, reggae. We want to bring Creole, gospel, reggae, all three of them together so that you can get a chance to understand how our music is similar. And bringing that back will allow us to act as gods. That's right. We are defining the whole thing. Now, how many of you saw the Oscars last night? Weren't you pretty proud of all of those nominees for those African-American people? For once, they finally got recognized. Now, I'm going to say that we've always been recognized when it came to creativity, but we've got to get our stuff out there, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. Now, hold tight as we go to station identification.
We'll be right back.
right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today. This is the Oracle Divination Network, and you've got your Omi Inca 7 Live coming to you. And I'm reporting that the website is now completed. The store is still under construction, but everything else is there. Now, let me tell you a little bit about why I decided to do something on this topic. And that is because that we are the gods, and we must realize that, and we must understand that we co-create with God who lives within inside of us, and that is Ori. And being co-creators, we can co-create music, we can create genres. So we created a genre called the Creole Gospel Reggae, and that Creole Gospel Reggae is a combination of African music, gospel traditional music, and Creole. Something you haven't heard a lot about is the Creole. The Creole is something that's been suppressed, and we want to bring it back so that it is out front and alive and well. It sounds a little bit like the fiddle, like they're playing I guess you would call it the choreographer that actually sounds like a piano and a fiddle together. And it gives you a little bit of Southern hospitality. But we want to bring that genre back, and I want to tell you why. I grew up in a family of, I guess you would call it Seminole Creoles. We are Seminole Creoles, and my family used to describe it as French Indian. And French Indian is the same thing as Creole. Now, what do I mean by Creole? When you go to Louisiana, you'll find a lot of people there that are called Quadro, Mulattoes, mixed. They were mixed with the Spanish and the French and black. And they were separated from the slaves. No, they didn't work in the fields. They had privileges, and some of them could even pass. Now, my uncle had explained to me that he was able to pass for a while, and he did work for the white people, and he could live in their homes. So I didn't quite understand what this whole concept of Creole, French Creole, was until later on I found out about the Seminole Indians and how the Seminole Indians and the Creoles were there together fighting in the war. But it made me realize that the music has been suppressed, and it needed to be brought out. So how can I bring this music out and without attaching a traditional gospel singing music to it? Well, they all go together because most of our foundations were started with the traditional African religion. And for the benefit of those who don't know anything about the traditional gospel music, all you need to do is go and listen to the slave songs. Yes, a lot of people did not want to hear them anymore because they were slave songs, and they reminded us of when our people were suppressed. So they suppressed the music too. But there were a lot of white people in their pity and feeling bad for those slaves that went through. They made the music very popular. Over in Europe, you can hear traditional African music or gospel music being sung everywhere as if it just came on the scene, and they're paying good money to hear African Americans sing this particular traditional gospel music. I sang traditional gospel music while overseas in Germany, and that was my genre. However, I had a desire to be a part of the R&B, the jazz, and the blues. So I wanted to branch out and do more of the blues and the R&B. But the traditional gospel was in me, and it's hard to walk away from a lifelong time of singing gospel music. So I thought that being the God that we are, we can bring our own genres back, and we can begin to expound upon the history of the music and give you a little background scene as to where it came from. Well, Louisiana is one of the areas, and the North Carolinas. My folks came from the North Carolina, and they talked about this Creole music, and they talked about the French Indians and explained to us that it was all a part of soul music. But I hadn't heard this music and genre anywhere in the soul music until I started to see the harmonicas. Lil Stevie Wonder was the first one I saw with the harmonica who played the harmonica so well. And people identified with it as if it was a trumpet instrument. Now, I want to say for the record, those of us who have been in entertainment business and music and feel like we are coming out of another profession, sometimes our gifts will make room for us, and we can bring our talent back and bring it back strong and make sure that we intertwine with the existing going music and have the pulse of the people. Sometimes as the music changes, the requirement changes for the music you're trying to produce. And a lot of us have walked away from music just because we think we can't fit back in to the scene. But there are great opportunities for us to fit back into the scene, great opportunities for us to bring our music back and put a new, brand new twist on it. And that's what we're doing. We're calling on the gods today. The gods that are the creators, the gods that are the I am God. What do I mean by the I am God? The God that exists within you is the I am God, and you have every opportunity to co-create with that God. So we're going to co-create some music today, and we're going to co-create that music with God. And God at the head is the Ori that lives within inside of us. Don't go looking for him on the outside. Know that God is on the inside of you, and that God is the Ori that resides within you, in your being. You and that Ori God can create things together. Now, we're going to create some music together with that I am God. Now, as I told you, the Creole music has been a long-standing music, not to mention the African traditional music. And as most of you know, I do a lot of African traditional music. And one of the CDs that we put out is chock full of the African traditional music. And it is in demand, believe it or not. It is in demand over in Europe. And they're oftentimes calling on African Americans to present the traditional African music. Yet there's a discrepancy from the African Americans where they don't want this music presented because it reminds them of the old slave days when they were in captivity, and they feel that the music should be put to rest and should be buried. But we cannot forget our past. We mustn't forget our past, because without your past, you don't know your future, and you're living in your past daily. So you must keep a bit of it around. And I suggest you not try to bury your traditional gospel music, but you try to blend it and extend it within some other current music, such as reggae and Creole. Creole is still active over in Trinidad and different places. You will see the people there still celebrating their heritage of this music. This music is in Creole is not going to go away, because there's a festival every year, a Creole festival every year that I intend to participate in that is available to our people. And our people are the Creole people, the French Creole. And that is available to the French Creole who comes from that background. And as I said, my mother is a French Creole. And her family. So she's on that patriotic side. So we must acknowledge that particular tradition. And I didn't know a lot about it. I knew that we were Indian, but I wasn't sure of what percentage. And now I know it's the Creole, the French Creole Seminole Indians. So the Seminole Indians were connected with the Creoles. Now, I want you to understand that we can still be Native American while we are part Creole. And I didn't realize that the Creoles and the Seminole Indians were right there together. And they created tons of music. And unfortunately, we don't hear a lot of it recorded And why is it that when someone makes it big in music or a film, all of a sudden their films are dislocated and they cannot access their prior music? Why does that happen? I guess you would think to write them out of history, but you cannot write a group of people out of history like the Creole French Indians, because their music was explicit. And we are going to have to bring it back around and talk about it, because so many of us will say, I don't know anything about the Creoles. Who are the Creoles, or who were the Creoles? They still exist, and they're in small numbers, but they're acknowledged as those that the French and the Spanish gave preference to. They lived in the French quarters. They allowed them to separate themselves from the slave, and they had rights, and they were able to push along the revolution for equality. A number of them were, they had white fathers, and the white fathers gave them their names. So you'll see a lot of them with the names like DuPont, Lily. These are all French Creole names that were given by the Frenchmen to these Creole people. And right there in New Orleans, the French quarters still exist, and you can actually go there, and this is where most of the mulatto, the Quadros, live. And yes, they were segregated from their own people because they were considered as free. They were given their freedom, whereas most African American who were slaves were not. But these Creoles, which is what they call it, some of them could pass for white, but they refused to pass for white, and they decided to pass for black, even though people thought they were white. Now, there's a lot of history to be found in this Creole land, but we're talking about the gods right now. How do you make a god? And does a god have to be made, or are we automatically gods by virtue of our birth? Well, I want to say that when God looked around, he saw that the earth was void. He created the firmaments. He created the animals, the lakes, the rivers. Then he created man. Then he gave us dominion over this earth down here, but he could not know experience. So he made a pact with us that he will know experience through us. And every time we have experience, we get to experience this for God. So we have to be very careful about our experiences, because we're co-creating now. And God and I are co-creating together, and we're creating things that we need. So there's no such thing of having lack or not being able to create, because God is on the scene creating with you. We're going to go to station identification right now. So hold tight, ladies and gentlemen, because we're on a roll here talking about the Quadros and the Mulattoes and the French Creoles and how they co-created to create an opportunity for the black Haitians to get out of slavery. Yes, they were right there helping out with the equality of the world. And these are things that we should know about. And let's talk about them. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining the Oracle Divination Network. You're in the network and the network to know all about those things that may be paranormal. Today we're talking about the co-creator. Just who is the co-creator and what does the co-creator do? And are we a part of the Godhead? The I Am God is continuing to create like a creator should. What does he create? The co-creator creates Kosen Rufu, meaning world peace. And that's one of the things that we're focusing in on this year is co-creating and creating with mind, soul, body, and spirit. We're co-creating Kosen Rufu, which will give us world peace. And, Lord, if we can get world peace, we will be in a better place. So we're co-creators, and the peace that you see out there, it will surpass all understanding because we're helping to create it. Why do you say that? I'm saying that because we are the small-headed ones with the head that is full of wisdom, and we're helping to co-create with God, and whatever needs to be had in this society, we are right there with God co-creating, making sure that it happens. And we're going to focus in on our music today and co-creating from a blast from the past. As you know, Creole music has been in the past, and we've kind of suppressed it as long as traditional African music. But we're bringing it back with a gospel twist, and we're bringing it back so that we're not just singing a lot of dead songs that are depressing, but songs that are uplifting and that are mobile and allow you to have spirit in you. Now, the Creoles believe in dancing a jig to everything that they did. And I'm from the line of the Creole family, the French Creole. My mother and her brothers and sisters were always dancing and singing and perfecting the music that they loved so well with the harmonica. So I had the music in me from birth, and I had no other way than to see that I was going to be in the musician world. Even though I was headed off to be a teacher, I was brought right into the thick of things of being a traditional gospel singer. While overseas teaching, I was pulled into the profession to get my life kick-started with co-creating. So I began to co-create with the master, the greater force, the I Am, the Ori that lives inside of me. And we co-create music, and therefore we're able to create an octave level higher than anyone else on this planet that can be sung. So that tells us that we are musicians, we are artists, and we were born for this occasion. Yes, we were. And that's because the co-creating God loves music, and the Godhead that lives inside of us is going to get the best out of us when it comes to music, especially you African American people who venture out to sing. You can't do anything but perfect the music. If you practice on a routine basis, your voice will get better because we're constantly perfecting. Now, I'm up in age now, but I have not stopped singing, and I have not stopped engaging myself in co-creating this music. And therefore, I'm still in the game. Yes, I am. And therefore, that's why I decided to create my website, to get my genre together and get back out there and perform. Yes, we do need mentors. You got to have mentors to support you, and you have got to be free and available to be able to travel. Music takes a lot of traveling, and it also requires, now that we got digital, that you can go right in your studio and produce music without having to go on the Chitlin circuit all the time. Yes, I do believe that you should have a studio in your home, and that's why I always say Omeika's Production Studio, because I'm co-creating from my studio at all times. I would like to have a technician, someone that can run my board, because right now I'm trying to run the board and talk to you at the same time. And that gets to be a little difficult sometimes because we have to have octopus hands, more than two hands, to operate. And as you can see, I'm going live here on my Blog Talk radio station, and you can find me right here on Blog Talk radio station, and our name is Oracle Divination Network. So why don't you call in to give us some input about how you feel about getting involved with your higher self. Now, let's see who we have calling here today. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Hello? Who do I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Yes, good morning, Oracle Divination. This is Mike. I want to let you know that, you know, I'm sure you are aware of this experiment that they're doing in underground tunnels in Swiss, Germany, and Sweden, that they have made about 20 miles, and they keep, you know, beaming and finding God's particles. And so far, they have found the God particles is so thin that I cannot even tell you it's 1 billion of millimeter or something. There is something I cannot even tell you. But now they are going to expand it. They are going to make it 40 miles of the underground tunnels, and they will do another experiment to get that particles that they have found. They want to go even deeper and make it lower than what they already found. So I wanted to know your comment on that, please. Is this good for us, or is it going to be bad for us, because Ring of Fire is on fire, and we saw earthquake 7.5 Ecuador 48 hours ago, and we keep seeing a lot of earthquake activities around the globe. Is this maybe a result of the finding the God particles? Go ahead, please.
Well, I personally think that man has to be more in tune with what the spirits are saying before they venture out to do something like that, and that is why it's necessary for them to be in contact with spirits and having their oracles read, because a lot of what we do, we have to consult the spirits before we do that, and going underneath ground at that level could pose a lot of dysfunctional problems such as earthquakes and destroying the firmaments. And I personally think that they're already doing that because they're creating bunkers. They're building their homes down below the ground, and they've got cities down there already. They feel that they're going to have to escape this world, so that's where they think that they will make their journey to. But I do feel they're out of order until they speak to the spirit realm, get an oracle reading, and have someone that is spiritual enough to get in touch with the ethers of the world, so that the ethers can begin to speak to them and say, you know, leave this alone and, you know, detour quickly or pursue it. And you don't endeavor into something like this without getting a reading from someone like a Baba Law, who has that gift to read whether or not this is an exact science that you should be tampering with, or if it's something that you should deviate from. And because there hasn't been any reading done on it, I can't personally voice my opinion, because the spirits only know. Only the gods know. And that's why we have to co-create with God. And as we do that, we'll get to know the mind of God and not Christ, because everyone said get to know the mind of Christ. But we really have to get to know the mind of God. And you can only do that through having your oracles read, so that the oracles will tell you what is the spirit saying. So these people are in error because they have not checked with the spirit, and they have to do a spiritual reading to know if they're on the right path, because they could come into ruins, like just like when they dug up all the tombs over in Egypt, a great portion of them died, and they were told that there were all kinds of rituals stating that if anyone opened their tombs, that they would expire, and a lot of them did die.
Right.
So,
and as you know, in Bible, we already know that we have been created in the image of God. So if we have been created from the image of God, so if I, when I say I am God, you are God, and XYZ is God, I mean we have God, then God is within us, and then I don't know if you saw Three Magic Words movie, just YouTube it, you should find it. Three Magic Words, I mean, it will take you pretty much like, you know, particles of God. And finally it says, I am God. And if everybody knows these three magic words, then we will have peace and tranquility around the globe.
And you know something, Mike, that's a good point. If everyone aspires to be God, because our ultimate task here up on this earth is to become like God and manifest from one school of thought to the next, and our ultimate goal and journey is to perpetuate and advance ourselves to be co-creators with God. And as we become co-creators with God, we are gods, but with the gods with the little g, and there's a creator that we cannot match. But we can become co-creators with God and call ourselves God, and not the ones that manifest the world, but the ones that co-create with God. And as we begin to matriculate and master certain levels of information, then we are co-creators. We can begin to work on creating world peace, which is Kosem Rufu. And that's what he ultimately wanted every one of us to do, to work on creating world peace. And God can know experience through us, because right now God will not come to earth, because he has already written a decree that he's given us dominion. So therefore, he wants to know experience through our eyes and through our experience. And that's why we have got to become a co-creator, or else God will never know what it's like to create.
All right. I mean, first of all, I have to give you, it's the Black Month, February. I have to congratulate all the blacks around the globe in USA, North America. Happy Black Month as well. And you have said that 3,000 years ago, the black religion hero was born in India. He was called the Buddha, or the world honored. He is known today by Shakyamuni, the Buddha, or the Enlightened One. He left his highest teaching in a work known as Lotus Sutra. This book is Lotus Sutra Prayer. Can you elaborate on that for us, please? Because, I mean, I understand, because, you know, I have traveled a lot of places, and but I never came to Lotus Sutra. Go ahead, please.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have studied Buddhism as well as been a part of Buddhism, because I feel that African Americans need to understand that there was some history that shows that Jesus might have went to India and lived there. Became the and became the Buddha and traveled there with his mother. And they still have the ruins of his mother's body that are actually in a cryptic tomb. So his mother was buried there in India. I certainly believe that African Americans are the Buddha, and we have the Bodhisattva. I am a Bodhisattva, one that goes out like an evangelist and tells the world of the good news of working towards Kosem Rufu. And I tell people that we don't have to adapt any one particular religion, but we can find truth in all religion. And I found very, very great truth in understanding the Lotus Sutra. The Lotus Sutra is the highest teaching that you can receive. And there is an African god that they speak of that actually brought about the teachings of Buddha. And African Americans don't know this, but it was a black gentleman that brought this teaching. And as we look at the Buddha, they have a fivefold path, and we have to make sure that we're traveling down the fivefold path and we are living for the benefit of all, because there is no self in the teaching. They believe in a communal lifestyle, that if I suffer, you suffer. So they have the right concept of trying to make sure we all look at each other as one. And when you speak of when you speak of this particular Lotus Sutra, it's a whole study of each book. And I would venture to say that it's a lifetime of studying, and that's where they had a lot of discrepancy with the Japanese, who wanted to, you know, leave the black gods out. But it was discovered that this was a black god that introduced a lot of this, and it was taking the black people down the road of learning how to speak Japanese, Peshir. So I can recite the Myhorenge Ko, and actually we were learning to speak Japanese, and they said, no, you are not to learn to speak Japanese. Speak it in your own English Peshir voice, and start, you know, don't record it in Japanese. So they were taking us down a path where they had not included any of the black gods, and yet these were the black gods that were heading everything up. And so a large portion of us who came into the studying over in Chicago, they had like a cultural center there, and a lot of us signed up because we saw the beauty of the black gods there, but they did not teach us about the black gods. We had to go off on our own to learn this, but I certainly believe that Buddhism is a good, is the right path for African Americans and anyone of color.
Yeah, I accept you, because yes, I know the fact Jesus Christ went to India, and that's why he was very familiar with the Buddhism and the Lotus Sutra and basically many of the teachings that he has written, it came from India. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're very right. And African Americans are coming to the conclusion that this particular religion is a good lifestyle for you. It brings peace about your community. It also allows you to understand that there were black gods, and they named the black gods for you and tell you who they were. I spent a lot of time studying with groups of people on this because I wanted to know this factual information. Was it true? Yes, I found that Jesus did spend many years in India along with his mother, and there had been a lot of discrepancy as to whether or not Jesus had been there, but I believe that he had been there because he was missing for so many years. And I also believe that the Kosarufu, the world peace that we talked about, could be had with the Lotus Sutra, but no one was teaching the Lotus Sutra. And I had an opportunity to spend some time in Chicago at their culture center there, and they were really trying to bring in a Japanese concept, and everyone was upset about this and said, no, we don't want the Japanese concept. We just want to go with what is true. We don't want you to create a synthetic counterfeit, and that's what was happening. And so a lot of us started to study on our own when that happened. But I did spend a couple of years studying in the Buddhist faith, and while overseas in Germany, a lot of my friends were Buddhists, and they practiced, and I practiced with them because we didn't have churches to go to in Germany. So I practiced under the Buddhists while I was there. And we had our temples, and we could chant, and we could go. And the biggest thing is chanting. And when we chant, it becomes a world chant. Everyone's chanting together for world peace. So that's a...
Like home? Like, is that like that?
Yeah, well, we do the Mai Ho Ringe Ko. We do that one as well. And that is the universal message that we actually send out, where all people are sending out for collectively for world peace, you know, and making sure that when we're on one accord, that chant will be heard, you know, it will be permeated.
Right. So basically, the board was deceived because, you know, Catholics, they believe a certain part of the Bible, Protestant, same thing. I mean, in North Ireland, still we see, after 20 years of civil war, I mean, religious war between Catholics and Protestant, and still they have, you know, a division in the area. Like one area is Catholic, one area is Protestant. In the morning at 6 a.m., they open the, you know, enough passage that people can go to the other side and come. But you better be home by 6 p.m. before the door is closed. Door is closed, you will be locked up either Catholic side or Protestant side, and then you may be banished in that because of that. So it's,
yes.
I mean, to me, I think we were deceived because I understand what you say. So why we have been deceived, why we have been became 800 division or right now 900 division in Christianity, and each Christian has a war with each others, and so everybody wants to control their Christianity. Go ahead, please.
When you talk about Christianity, most of us don't realize, but there was only 20% of the world who consented to Christianity, and the rest of the people were beaten into submission. A lot of people were actually massacred and crucified to be forced to serve Christianity. And as we look at that, we also have to remember that the Romans, at the Council of Nicene, there was a meeting called the Nicene Council, where they were going to erect a Jesus because the Romans did not like the fact that the Hebrews were worshiping Jesus. So they had a meeting to determine how these Hebrews would worship Jesus, and they gave the Hebrews their Christianity from a Roman perspective, and it wasn't even a Christian perspective because at that time, their Christians means crystallize in Christ, and literally, Jesus did not know of Christianity, but they gave this form of Christianity to the Hebrews, and they're not even worshiping the authentic Christianity. So if you go back and read the Council of Nicene, you will see where this took place, and it's all documented. So you have this dysfunctional Christianity that people are saying you must be a Christian, and they were forcing people into Christianity, and they were mutilating them and beating them and killing them, all in the name of Christianity. And these were during the Crusades.
Amen.
You know about the Crusades, right? So they were just literally slaughtering people.
And usually they kill them. They say you are a witch, for example. That was their deem at that time. They had to find some reason to kill people who doesn't submit to Christianity. And it's easier to say, I am a witch, you are a witch, and so bingo. Kill those people with a reason. So they say to the Christian, you see, we are killing the witches. These are the bad people. So, yeah, absolutely right. You are right. Absolutely.
Here's what you have to look at. You have to look at this. All religion is man-made. It's from someone else's deity and perspective that they want you to perpetuate. And all religion has a form of, it has a form of slander, and all religion is bad. Really, what you want is a way of
Islam.
Life.
Islam killed lots of people and forced people to become Muslim. And, then Islam is also has 350 divisions.
Listen, Mike, I don't want to sit here and bastardize any one religion. I'm saying collectively all religions are from a man-made perspective. It's somebody else's.
That's true.
So we need something that's going to give us a lifestyle and not to be tied to, because religion means to be tied to. And we're not looking to be tied to, but just a way of life. That's why I said Buddhism religion was a good religion. It was a good way of life. It's not a religion because there's no God that you're worshiping. And the Buddha wants you to follow the fivefold path. He does not give you any suggestion about how to live your life through the very virtues. You have to follow the virtues and live your life under the condition of the virtues. And it's not like you're going to do 10 Hail Marys. When you chant, you're chanting to make the world a better place and yourself a better place. And that's all he asked of you. He didn't ask you to go and get 50 scriptures and try to carry them out. So it becomes a way of life. And most people have to come out of religion because it binds you. It actually allows you to go to war with your brother, causes you to want to come against people because they don't believe the same way. I think everyone needs a path, and whichever path you choose, if that path is good for you, then I'm okay with it. I have no right to say that your path is not good enough, because what may work for you may not work for me, and God has given us many paths to get to him, and that's all it takes is a path. And whichever path you're on, stay on that path and stay on that road and remain faithful. Because, you know, God is a diligent rewarder of those who remain faithful. So I don't get into it with people about what religion they choose. I say find a path and stay on it. But the main thing, don't get tied into religion where it causes you to harm yourself and others. Because too much fighting is going on all in the name of religion.
Yes. Absolutely, you're right. To me, is like Rumi, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, if you are familiar. He has written many poems. It has been translated to over 800 languages. Rumi says, I am not from the East or the West. I am not Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or Baha'i. I am not Hindu, Buddhist, Sufi, or Zen. I don't belong to any established religion or any cultural system. I am neither the body nor the soul, for I belong to divine soul of my Lord, my beloved, Rumi.
Oh, I like that. I heard of Rumi. He's a poet?
Yeah, I know, because we are in the same page. When you are in the same page, we understand each other very good.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good statement, because so many people get caught. You know, it's so bad that the African Americans get caught up into religion so bad, because we are worshipers and we are the divinely, you know, the callers to prayer. And we want to worship. We want to be on the right side of the road and not, you know, the narrow. But we get caught up into so many man-made religions, and then we find out that we're hurt later on, that don't be attached to any of them. Attachments, all attachments are bad, and that's what brings habitual habits on. You can be addicted to religion just like to smoking. So anything that's going to attach you and addict you, then get out of it, because really spirituality grows up inside of you, that you are given an inter-witness from God. So all of your directions come as being a co-creator with God, because within you, you are co-creating, and God is giving you that information that you need. So why would you need religion when you and God are co-creating together? He's giving you that first voice to tell you what to do, and he responds to you on an inner witness. So in reality, when you free yourself of religion, then you can clearly hear from God. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know which way to turn. You do know. It was already written in your cosmic record, because God has already cooperatively started working with you. You just got to stir up to God, and you got to meditate on him, and then bring God forward within you, so you guys start co-oping things together. And that's why I say with music, people think, oh, he's a star, he made it. No, he was cooperatively working with God, and God made him perfect and become an expert at that, because you cannot do it on your own. It's the God that lives within you, but he, she, or it is laying asleep, and you got to stir it up, and you got to bring it forward. And a lot of us never get to know the God inside of us, because they don't realize when they say, I am, that is you and the God inside of you creating together on every account. If you take the credit for everything and don't include God in that particular endorsement, then really you have not waken up the Godhead in you. And that's what we were brought here for, to have experience and to know experience, and we give God a chance to see what experience looks like through our eyes. But if you never wake up to God in you, then you're walking around lost, because God wants to come into your life, but you got to let him in. You know what I'm saying? I'm merely saying that each and every one of us have the potential to become God. Some of us are necessary and asleep, but some of us others are awake, and we know that God exists within us, and we allow God to permeate. So therefore, we can do all things through Christ and God who strengthens us. But I don't know how you feel about calling yourself a God. A lot of people get offended. They say, oh, you cannot call yourself God. You're blaspheming. But I believe that after you've gone through many schools of thought and gone through religion schools and spent time at the theologians' training, and you come out of all this and say, hey, none of this stuff is any good. It all has flaws in it. And when you spent time being a master and you come away from it, you said, well, which one will I choose? No, you don't choose any of them. You go down on your knees and you allow the God to speak to you, to give you directions for your life. Because ultimately, you are the one that have to decide anyway. So why not decide with tapping into the Godhead within inside of you, so you know you're on the right path. So I tell people, you know, I'm not interested in religion anymore. I spent my whole childhood life trying to perpetuate which religion is the right one. And when I realized that meditating on his word and meditating on goodness and finding a path to follow and the fivefold path was the way to go. Even with some of the Africans, they have abandoned their own religion. The majority of the Africans that I talk to about their way of life in the Yoruba faith of Ifa, a lot of them say, oh, we don't practice that anymore. We practice Christianity. I said, you're walking backwards with your head turned around. You know, you're walking into Christianity, which is a baby, and now you're telling me you've abandoned an ancient old religion? Then I tend to wonder, you know, why are we African Americans striving so hard to be a part of that system when they've actually desecrated and walked away from it? So then I came to the conclusion, all religion that is produced by a man is a defecation of somebody else's stuff. So if you're going to remain faithful to yourself and practice the Buddha lifestyle so that you can become a Buddha Sutta and you bring everyone to know righteousness and to live by it. But we have to know that we are the gods, and we're back now, and we are wide awake, and we're not asleep. And when people know that, they tend to hesitate before they mess with you because you answer to a higher calling, and you can tap in to something that's greater than yourself. And then people begin to say, well, what religions do you practice? And then they want to know, well, who do you pray to? And I tell them, I said, what do you mean, who do I pray to? Well, who do you bow down to? I said, you pray to yourself. You bow down and you chant to yourself and you meditate on God's word that's already written within inside your Akashic record. And they said, well, I can't do that. I'm not a God. I can't pray to myself. But then I said, but yes, you are. You haven't come into the full Godhead yet, but you're on your way. You're on a path. And then you got to find the path and stay on the path. So I just tell people, get on the path, you know.
But I ask you, please go to YouTube and put number 3, Magic Words, the movie, and watch one of them. And it will give you scientifically why I am God. You are God. The reason, when you say I am God, then you don't do bad things, you don't drink, you don't do any kind of bad things. And, you know, they prove that you're God. And the 3 magic words is, I am God, but I told you, unfortunately. But, yeah, you will see it in that movie. And then there was a psychologist, which talks in that movie too. She said that one of her patients, she keep getting cancers.
Mm-hmm.
One cancer finish, and another one pops out. Finally, she said, let me ask you, did something happen to you a long time ago, or something is bother you, something that you never told me? Then she said, yes, my husband left me, and I don't forgive him. Bingo. That was the solution. She says, well, the reason you are keep getting cancers and into cancers is because you don't forgive your husband left you. Forgive him right now. Just say,
yeah,
I forgive him. Don't worry. I mean, I'm not angry about it. I am, you know, right now. And then she came back a few times later, and they said the cancer went out of her body.
Yes, I believe that, Mike. I certainly believe that unforgiveness that's harbored in your body can bring about the atmosphere for free radicals to engulf your body, free radicals attack your cells. I definitely believe that. And my brother, who is he is a naturopathic doctor, he has said so many times that I can speak to the body and get the body to release what it is that's holding them in captivity. And usually it's unforgiveness of some kind. And that once that has been dealt with, you can get the body to start healing itself.
Sure.
So
this movie is life-changing. You will remember it forever. Oprah Winfrey and many of the inmates have seen the movie, what it can do for them. The secret, what on earth, etc. I think 3 Magic Words will have the most impact, which he already did, throughout the globe, billions of people, lives, you know, because scientifically they create, you know, the hand that you have right now, it consists of trillions of cells, it's all together, that's your hand right now, your wrist, for example. So then, you know, we are the particle of God. Let's put it that way. I believe we don't need to look for particle of God anymore, longer, under the Swiss and Sweden and Germany, under 20 kilometers below the earth. We are the particle of God. If these are not the same, you cannot function. So every second, trillions of things happen in the body so I can speak to you or vice versa.
Well, you know, my something as simple as a particle and something as simple as man, most people think it is something that is a higher nature, a higher thought. And sometimes when things are right in your midst and the answer is there, we think it's profoundly too simple to be the answer. But God will also make everything as simple as a baby to be able to decipher it. The very thing we've been looking for out here in the atmosphere is right amongst us, like you said, in a particle, in the very particles of our being, because when he decided to create us, create is something different than making. When you created, you've been created with all his essence, and there are many essences of God. Do you not realize he had to pull the vapors from even the nectar and the flowers to create us, and to give us his essence would be like giving us the world, because God has an immaculate number of essence, you know, the bright morning star, El Shaddai, you know, all these different names that they've given him. And if he's given us his essence, can you imagine that within our being we have the capability of being God? Because he's given us all his essence. But we have not zoned into it. We have not triggered it. We have not stirred it up. And God said that he shows up when you're kicking against the prick and you are pressing against the prick, and there is a time in your life when you're at your ultimate and you think you were going to perish. That's when he shows up, when you're in some type of triumph, you're in a triumph, or you're in a fixated position, and when you're at the worst end of your life, that's when he shows up. But why do we have to keep letting these kind of major catastrophes happen in order for him to show up? Why can't we just push him forward? We have to wait till a calamity happens. Now we call God to show
up. Exactly. Like Japan earthquake happened, then calamities came, and suddenly, you know, all the world is affected right now. We have radiation coming from Daiichi nuclear plants in Japan. We cannot eat fish, anything basically you used to eat, prawns, fish, etc. You cannot, because it's all are infected by the Daiichi nuclear radiations, and the radiation is coming towards not only California, eventually will be over the United States within 4 or 5 years. I strongly believe California will be a ghost town in 4 years, because people cannot eat. I mean, even if now we eat meat, it brings you mad cow disease. So you cannot even eat meat. So you have to change your way like Buddha did. And Buddha was vegetarian. Vegetarian.
Remember Buddha, he was large and overweight, because he was eating everything, and then he switched and started eating a different way, then he lost weight, and people were, they were looking at, you know, him make all these changes in his life. But, see, people think change is bad, but if you are going to grow, sometimes change can be good. And when we were talking about bringing God forward, maybe there's a need for God to come to this earth. That's why we're having all these calamities. We're trying to push him forward, when, in fact, we are cooperatively working with God. We can solve some of these man-made problems, and we don't realize it through unification and prayer. And us chanting together, we can make the changes. And through consistently, Buddhism believes that everyone prays at the same time, and then we unlock the doors. We force, you know, the things to change. But we've got so many calamities happening on every end, and now that they think that we won't have money to last, and then not only is California coming to calamity, look at Europe. Right now, they've got a large portion of influx of people trying to get out of Europe and leave Europe because they're fearing that the ice storms are coming and we're going to have the ice age again. They're not going to be able to grow a crop there. So you got a large portion of them going over to Africa wanting to get in because they cannot stay in Europe. Europe is going to be on a decline with the ice age.
Yes, yes, indeed. And you're right. I mean, I think calamities right now, we have little bit of time left to change behavior, the humanity behavior. If we do not change the humanity behavior ASAP, such as political divisions we have around the globe, especially in the United States as well, we have religious division everywhere. We have racism that based on color, greed, religion, etc. If we don't fix it, we don't have that much time left. This time, the Great Spirit is going to shake the planet with its two hands. First, it was the World War One. From World War One, we did not got our lessons. But then it happened World War Two, and millions of people died, and still we never get our lessons from World War Two. So then, once the Great Spirit shake out the planet, which is already is in process, so we have a little bit of time to fix this planet, and hopefully we will not to go through calamities, which is bad for everyone.
Do you remember the actual statement that came from the Bible? It says the foolish things are going to conform the wise. That which they think is very foolish, the people, the brown people and the people of color that they think are foolish people, we're going to conform the wise. And you're going to hear out of the mouths of babe, the hearts are going to speak, and they're going to have solutions for correcting this problem. Do not think that the Black Panther movie was created by mistake. Primarily, there is something in the fact that they showed that these people could go back into the earth and go back in time and fix problems through their ancestors. And when they went and made that transition back to their ancestors, they were going back in time. In other words, they were dying, going back in time to fix a problem. But through uranium, they were able to come back and live. No one focused in on the afterlife, and they did not focus in on the fact that they were communing with their ancestors. This is what brought them great strength. So there is strength in numbers, and we are looking at certain aspects of African tradition. One thing they have not traded off is their ancestors. Some of the towns, like the cities like Benin and certain parts of Nigeria, they refuse to take on Christianity. They still want their traditional African faith because they're able to connect with their ancestors. They're able to get things done. They go in their Akashic records. They don't use their weapons are not carnal. They use spiritual awareness to do their work. And that's what it's going to take to make a change in this world. Not warfare, not armies, but spiritual warfare of those priests and priestesses that they're going to have to call forward in order to get a prayer through. Because right now, the connection to the underworld, and as the Black Panther showed us, they found solution in the underworld when they sent those bodies back to the underworld, and then they brought them back to life. And in other words, going into meditation, leaving this realm temporarily, getting solutions and coming back. That's what it's going to take. They're going to need the foolish people, and it's going to help confirm the wise.
Yes, absolutely, indeed. You know, you know, we have seen how much sons and daughters of people were abused by Catholic bishops around the globe, including the United States, which Pennsylvania, over 316 priests. So you see, religion is not giving the light anymore. Is religion is a darkness, because people go there to get some kind of, you know, spirituality supposed to be, then they get abused and misused, and you know, finally John, recent Pope, I believe Francis, Pope Francis, said something, and they cover up into cover up. They don't give a damn if the people being abused and misused, and you know, this is not the Christianity. This is the light of religion. When it dimmed, that's it. There is no need to, you know, to go ahead to be member of any religion, because religions, from Islam to Christianity to Judaism to many other these are the recent religions, I mean, all have really, their light is dimmed, and what they ask you for money all the time. And there was a priest which bought a sport car, $200,000 for his wife. Finally, it's people got mad, said, we keep donating to the church. You're supposed to help the poor people, make buildings, and let the poor people come there, live, or etc. You bought yourself. Then he came, February, on the YouTube. Oh, I don't ask anybody to tell me what to do, what to do. This is my wife's birthday. I have right to buy her $200,000 Ferrari, for example. So you see how the religion is bringing chaos to the people.
Yeah, that's what's going to break the camel's back. I just perceive that there is going to be gnashing of teeth, and eventually they are going to turn over the pulpits because of the lies that have been told and the perpetuation of taking funds, and all in the name that you're providing for a community, when you know you have orders by the government to run that church. And when you have a 501(c), you have to oblige the government or else you lose your status. And when you are part of the government, state and church should not be together, as we know that, but they've violated that because the government is connected to the churches now, and people don't believe anymore in the churches because they can't come out to the rallies, they cannot come out to the police department and fight for their children, they're not allowed to get involved in anything. So when you have salt that has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but trampling over, right? So if you got a situation where this church is no longer able to accommodate the people and give the people assistance in the area where they need help, then the people are going to go away from the churches and they'll make the churches in their own homes. And they will begin to worship God there and find spirit and truth there. But the sad thing is that you got a lot of young people that are being led astray. They already are disenfranchised about churches. They don't want anything to do with them. They don't want to have the minister do anything but to possibly give them their eulogy when they die. And that's where most of them are coming in at. They're doing the eulogies of these young people, but young people are not gravitating to the churches because they see the inadequacy of community. They don't see them going in the community to make things right and to build the actual unification there so they can have the buildings available to have after-school programs, to even support the educational system, because they could replace educational systems as well. So I don't know when this is going to happen, but I do believe there's going to be a great falling away of the people attending the churches, and they're not going to seek the churches anymore for refuge. They're going to walk out their own salvation with fear and trembling, which is what the minister needs to be doing, because it says, woe unto those who are leading the sheep astray, that they're going to have to be accountable. So I think, as we know, we have become gods. We've got to define it. We've got to name it, and we've got to walk into that particular light and letting people know that there will be signs and wonders that will follow me, because the Bible, the mutilated Bible, said that signs and wonders will follow them who believe. So your signs and wonders are going to be healing. You're going to be able to lift up the dead that are blind, eyes are going to be open, deaf ears, and you're going to be able to speak life into people, and you're going to see that happening, and people are going to start following individuals and not preachers, because it says greater things that we shall do than Jesus did. So I know that those greater things have to come on the scene. And those greater things must include a holistic healing, and it must include the ability to feed your own and provide for your own, because once you know that you're God, you have abundance. There's nothing that you cannot do. You'll be able to produce out of your own substance. But you can't keep going around.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You
indeed. You're right.
You can't be saying, I'm going to be praying to God for this. No, get up off your face and start getting up and doing. Faith without works is dead. So we have to get up and have a concept that nothing's going to get done unless I do it, because God's not going to come down out of heaven. He might inspire one that's here to do something, but he's depending on you to get up and practice the Godhead that's within you.
Absolutely. And I want you, please see the Three Magic Word movie in YouTube, and also the Dolores, Dolores Cannon, Letting Go of Fear, Releasing Your Karma. And, that's what I was saying, same from quote.
What's the name of that movie? What is the name of that movie?
Three Magic Words.
Okay.
Just put it on YouTube, you should see. Three Magic Words. And then on a little bit you go and you will see how to let go of fear and release karma. Three Magic World movie, and she's a psychotherapist in UK, London. And Dolores Cannon is also will be beneath the, if a little bit you go down, you will find her. Or just put the title, How to Let Go of Fear and Release Karma. And it should pop out right there. And it's very beautiful. And the bottom line, we are all in agreement. We are in all in the same page. We understand. We don't need to go to mosque. We don't need to go to churches. We don't need to go to synagogue. We can do it in presence of your own, inside your own home. You can do everything. You can do meditation, as you mentioned. You can do praying in any language that you wish. And, you know, and then if you want to pay, pay $10, put it in the special jar. At the end of the month, you say, oh my gosh, I have a $50. But the $50, if you go to church, you have to pay $50 to the other guy. Because he said, well, I have operating costs, I have this, I have that. And then $50, maybe $10 goes to operating costs. For example, $40 goes to his packet. And then we don't want that. Because,
well, that
you
is,
know, it, go ahead.
That
go
is
ahead.
True, Mike. To save that money, you can do something else with it. And there are a lot of people in other countries that are looking to sell their wares here. They need help in getting their marketing out. You could take that money and put it on some products that somebody is feeding their family that's under the poverty list. So, yes, you are right. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking here to one of our good friends, Mike, who's calling in with the gospel truth about what we should do about our attachment to these foreign religions and why we have picked them up and we have actually carried them, knowing that we have spirit and truth within our own being. When we co-create with God, we begin to manifest these things and know that God lives within inside of us. And we are the living epistle. We are the temples. So why not let God grow up within us and cultivate him through meditating, through the Buddhist faith? Buddhism is not just a religion, it's a way of life. Take some of their statues and apply them to your life and realize that you can be a better person. You could be a bodhisattva. You could be somebody out there that's cultivating people and bringing them to the word of the Buddha. And it's actually a Buddha lifestyle. So raise up the Buddha in you and find the truth in all religion. And don't get hooked on religion. Don't let religion be the thing that drive you to hell. And realize that we all have good in us, and we can call that good out through cultivating the Godhead within inside of us. Every day, talking to yourself, saying, good morning, God. How are you today? We're going to meditate today. Please assist me and aid me in all of my work. And going down on our knees and letting God know that we're sorry that we have not identified ourselves with him beforehand, and that now we're going to purpose in our heart to minister to ourselves and uplift ourselves. And as we do that, we become the Godhead, and then we create world peace, Kosun Rufu, world peace that comes out of the Buddha teaching. And I like to say to each and every one of you that you are going to have to face this particular topic eventually, sooner or later. You're going to have to address if you are the God. And when you do that, don't be afraid when the Godhead starts to rise up in you and you begin to take matters in your own hand and begin to see the God in every other person and call it out. And don't be afraid that somebody's going to say you're blaspheming, because ultimately God gave us his essence. And why wouldn't we eventually become
Amen.
Like God? We'd be wasting our time if we're not striving to become the Godhead. Now, I want to say to each and every one of you, you've been listening to Omienka 7 live here on Oracle Divination Network, and we're going to go to commercial shortly, so hold tight. Well, I guess we're not going to go to commercial. Sometimes it gets stuck here. But what I want to say is that, ladies and gentlemen, that we have this life to live, and it is our decision to determine if we want to be bogged down with all this pasture and all this allegorical teaching. These are teachings that could apply to anyone. The Biblio that we place so much pride in, we must realize was written by many inspirational men and women, and we must find an actual map for our lifestyle. And we can do that through meditating. And meditating is the first thing that I'm going to recommend for you as you begin to set your own path. And don't set it because any preacher told you to. Sit down and let the nectar teach you. The nectar can teach you and give you what it is you really need. So you have got to be right on time with what's going on. But if you don't become in contact with what's going on, you'll be lost. And I want to say to each and every one of you, thank you so much, Mike, for being on our show, and have a great week.
My pleasure.
And I'd like to say, double to all my listening audience out there, and say thank you for joining me, and we are ending the show. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.